It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
It is Jason Wilde and Professor John Anderson. Pebble, do you think I should mention what I put up on Twitter?
Well, the poll question we're going to have?
No, the way I, on YouTube, mentioned the combination of Jason Wilde and Professor Anderson.
Now better. You just should mention that now.
Better than heaven. Take it away, Professor.
Take it away. Jason, save me from these people that are overreacting to everything. Brewer starts that they didn't. The Packers didn't sign enough people in the offseason. That that Goody should be drafting Hall of Famers at every selection. Like, how do I quell the madness?
Well, I don't know, because when someone would say that you and I combined are better than heaven, I would say, Jesus Christ, cannot believe that you said that.
You're getting a standing ovation for that response.
We are definitely not that good, but I love John Anderson. Although my buddy Trevor promised me a DVD of all the great John Anderson moments, and I haven't seen Trevor. I even saw Trevor at a UWGB game. I got to get that from him. Look, fans, and I'm not demeaning fans here because I've been one. It's been a while, but I've been one. You know, that's what happens is you overreact, right? It is. You know, fan is short for fanatic, so I get that. But I think, you know, in our media landscape, there are plenty of folks that want to stoke that panic or frustration or whatever it might be. And so, you know, we're part of the problem sometimes. I try really hard to be kind of the thumb on the scale. That's kind of how I view it. And by that I mean when fans are way too negative, I try to bring up some of the positives and say, look, this is temporary, or here's why things are going to turn around. And I think if you go back on my track record regarding the Packers, I can't speak for Brewers or Bucks or other teams that I don't cover on a day-to-day basis. But I think more often than not, when I put my thumb on the scale, I end up being more often right than wrong. So when things are going poorly and I say, look, here's the reasons why things could turn around, usually they do. And when I think fans are maybe getting a little carried away and talking Super Bowl prematurely or Jordan Love being crowned in the second half of the 23 season, you know, I took some criticism for saying, look, he played really well, but he's going to go into next year. The NFL defensive coordinators are smart guys. They're going to have 19 games of film on him to look at. They're going to have a better idea how to defend him. He obviously dealt with some injuries as it turned out last season as well. But I think now we're looking going, okay, maybe we prematurely crowned him and we need to see more from him before we know exactly what he is. And that's why this year's such a pivotal year. So, you know, look, the Brewers thing, I mean, their pitching staff, you don't see this very often where a pitching staff is decimated by injuries before the season even starts. And so that, I think, is part of it. The Packers part of it, though, I do think that there are certain hot button things that a general manager or a coach can say that whether you're a fan or you're a member of the media, you hear it and you go, well, wait a minute now. And so for Goody to have come out yesterday and basically said, we have everything we need for the defensive line to be good and productive, you know, okay, well, I know you made the investments that you should have everything you need. I'm not sure I agree that you do have everything you need. And those are the kind of statements that I think get some fans, the fan base is not a homogeneous group. So there are some that are going to feel this way. There are some that feel the opposite, a lot that will be in the middle. But for Goody to have said that, that was one of the things that struck me when Domofsky and those guys sent me the transcript of their time with him, because I looked at that and thought, I think we need to be a little more honest here and say, look, we need those guys to play way better than they did. If we're going to say we've got what we need, those guys have to rise to the occasion. And he didn't say that as part of his answer.
I feel like that's the same thing he said a year ago about wide receiver. Right? We have every. I think we have everything we need. I think that's almost the same parallel.
He is. Look, his playbook is very clear, right? He believes that you push through growing pains with young players. He's talked about this many times, and then you come out on the other side and you benefit from it. I don't disagree with him. Okay. At the same time, you know, when you look at the level of investment they've had on the defensive line, when you look at, you know, the 22 and 23 investments at wide receiver, you know, you would expect first round picks on the defensive line to be more productive, and you would expect those 22 and 23 draft picks, the four that are remaining in Watson, Dobbs, Wicks, and Reed, to have taken bigger steps forward than they have to this point. And obviously Watson, with his injury, that's a real problem, and we don't know when he'll be back. But, you know, when I look at this offense, I see a group now that they have some talent at wide receiver. I'm not saying they don't. But they are going to be a, you know, you sign Aaron Banks to be this road grader of a guard. You're going to want to run Josh Jacobs to beat the band, just like you did last year. And I think you're going to see them be very tight end centric. LaFleur made a comment today about how much harder it's become in this league with all these umbrella shell defenses of getting plays down the field. So the effectiveness of that, and until they figure out ways to beat that, like they did with Cover 2 or the Tampa 2 many years ago, until they figure that out, it's going to be tight ends, it's going to be running the ball, and it's going to be making sure that your quarterback doesn't turn the football over so you can put together 8, 10, 12 play drives if that's how you have to score against the team that's keeping everything in front of them.
We have a Discount League or Twitter poll question you both can answer. Who is a bigger problem preventing a Green Bay Packers Super Bowl, Matt LaFleur or Brian Gutekunst? And yes, I have an agenda because I think there should be a discussion that it's LaFleur. This team is soft and will always be soft under him. His latest discussion about his tight end is the best example. You want your tight end to beat the crap out of everybody, and he'll pay whatever the price for it is. No, Matt LaFleur would like him to kind of adjust. But, Jason, your vote's way more important than mine.
Yeah, I'm not voting in this because this is a ridiculous framing of the question, but you think it's soft to suggest that Tucker Kraft needs to pick his spots?
Totally, yes.
For where he's going to
truck people? Definition of soft, given this team.
He missed. He couldn't practice normally for most of last season because he had a shoulder injury and he was wearing a red jersey. Like, it was difficult for him to prepare. That's what underscores how good of a player this guy is, that even as a second-year player, he was capable of being so good with such limitations in him in practice. And I don't think Matt LaFleur is saying don't run people over. It's be smart, and if you're not going to gain more than a half a yard by trucking a guy at the sideline, go out of bounds and save the tread on your tires for when you have to run through a guy in the middle of the field to get a first down. Like, no one thinks that Tucker Kraft is soft, but I think it's reasonable to say that he needs to be smart and protect himself from unnecessary hits. You think that makes LaFleur soft?
Yes, I don't want him to change. You ask me that question, I'll say he had some injuries last year. I don't want him to change. I want him to play with the attitude and the toughness, and whatever comes with that, I'll take.
He can still play with the same attitude and still play with toughness. It's just there are occasions in the course of a football game. Think about how physical he has to be. He is chipping pass rushers before he goes out. He's blocking in the run game. He's trucking linebackers who are trying to tackle him. He is not trying to soften Tucker Kraft up. What he basically said was essentially, if there are three or four instances over the course of a 70-snap game where you could take it easy on yourself because there's not enough to be gained by blasting a guy along the sideline, just be smarter about those. And he is such an important – he may be the most important piece of their offense after Josh Jacobs. And, yes, I'm putting him ahead of Jordan Love, even though Jordan Love is the quarterback and it's always going to be the quarterback. In terms of relative to the position they play, I would argue Tucker Kraft is that much more important.
Judge and Professor John Anderson, feel free to vote on this and, well, and give me a loss. I'll take it.
I just think that's it's to lay out what Jason did about what the guy went through to play, and then he plays and what he does. I feel like that's a pretty tough position, and he's a pretty tough guy. So I don't know that you can categorize him. I mean, feel like he's shown a bunch of toughness. I feel the game itself, while every once in a while we pound people, the game itself doesn't lend itself to the toughness that it used to have. They throw away more. Okay. They don't practice, but once a day they do that. So the game itself has sort of, as a whole, I don't know if that's right to pin that all on LaFleur, but I think the game itself has, in its effort to persevere and continue on and not have, you know, the whole thing be a one-way ticket to CTE problems when you retire, has they have softened the game. That would be my defense of that. I think it is entirely on LaFleur as the coach. He's in charge. He's got to either coach the players or he's got to coach his coaches into what they have. I think he makes pretty good adjustments. Every once in a while he baffles me, but I think he's shown himself to be pretty good. But I think it, just like it is for the wide receivers, this is a big year for him to show that he can change when maybe what you have been doing has peaked or reached its limit. Now do you change to see if there's, do you self-scout what you do as a coach to examine how you are running your football team to see if there's a better way? Because where he's been now, some championship games but not getting over the hump, a down year, a young team, then a young team that was surprised us. We all thought he was great. Then a young team that didn't maybe take the step it was supposed to. You know, the opinion of LaFleur has certainly, he went from boy genius to couldn't win the big one to, oh my gosh, how smart is he? Look at this. He's taking this team with Jordan Love and going to the playoffs, right? Like, I don't know, pick one of those squares and land on that, on where you're on LaFleur. Because I feel like we kind of changed the scale on him a lot too.
Well said,
Homer.
I'm 0-1. I take the loss. The betting line for the Packers over 9.5 -120. That means bet 120 to win 100. I think that's. I wish I had more money. I think that's a lock for Green Bay to win 10 games. Jason, am I missing something? Am I too optimistic? 10-7 is all they have to do.
Yeah, but so did you take the L in the interest of moving along the show, or did you authentically take the L there?
So you just ran out of bounds.
Decades. Right, I knew exactly.
Yes,
what
I
was in there.
LaFleur would like me.
Ran out of bounds.
I went soft. Yes, LaFleur would like me. I went soft. Yes, I did. I would say
10 games. I don't believe in locks, but if I was a betting person, which I, as you well know, am not, I would take that, and I think I would win. Yes.
Detroit over 10.5, Bears over 8.5, and Minnesota over 8.5. Any of those catch your attention?
Well, so look, the Packers' schedule is more difficult than last year's. They're not going to get to 10 wins if they go 1-6. Or 1-5 in the division again. They're just not. They also have the Eagles on the schedule again. I mean, you look at their schedule, and there are some challenges there, more challenging than what they faced in the matchups with the NFC West and the AFC South. I mean, the AFC South, they might as well have played the MAC. And so that obviously helped their record. So it is going to be more difficult. The biggest question that I have in the NFC North, above everything else, from a global view of these four teams, it's not how much of a jump will Caleb Williams make. It's not will J.J. McCarthy be the quarterback in Minnesota, or somehow will it end up being Rodgers after all. It's will Detroit still be Detroit with two new coordinators that both got head coaching jobs? We saw what happened with Sirianni in Philly a couple of years ago. They go to the Super Bowl. Sirianni loses both coordinators, and they faded in that 23 season. He gets two new ones again. They're back in the Super Bowl and the champs. So I think coordinators do matter. And so I'm curious to see if that, what kind of impact that has. And by the way, back to that toughness thing, everyone can say they love Dan Campbell, and I'm among them. I was 1,000,000% wrong on him. I thought that his stuff would get tired and players would tune him out. I was wrong, even though he started 1-7, people forget. But his toughness, that's all awesome, but he also had the most injured team in the league. And so is it possible that occasionally the better part of valor is to avoid that type of collisioning constantly and just take a few off each game, and maybe that makes a difference? I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
Was this the first year of that, or are you stating that as being an issue his entire time?
I don't know. I know their injuries were unprecedented this year. I think they were pretty banged up last year, but not nearly as bad as this year they were.
The Institute will start doing research immediately. It's a great point.
Yes. I love it when you assign. And I got to get an Institute of my own, too, because I had somebody complaining that I didn't break down how many of the other 31 teams signed their draft picks to second contracts compared to the Packers, because if you, as we've discussed many times, the 20 and 21 draft classes now have Jordan Love and Isaiah McDuffie left, and that is it. And so to your point about who's holding them back more, I think there's a lot of people that think Goody is the greatest thing since sliced bread as a GM. I am not in that group. I think he is a good to very good GM, but I think when you have to pay a free agent guard like they did, and when you miss on the cornerback position like he did with Eric Stokes, that's what causes you to have to dip into free agency. They missed on Darnell Savage. They were fortunate years later to sign Xavier McKinney. But the bottom line is that he's had his share of misses. And while they are a playoff team annually, maybe it's possible that he doesn't quite do enough to be more than just a playoff team. And this is why this year for him, for LaFleur, for the quarterback, for those wide receivers, that's why this is such a pivotal year.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
ESPN's Fantasy Focus Football Podcast coming to Green Bay on April 23rd. A live show at the Tundra Trio. ESPN Wisconsin wants to send you and a friend up to Green Bay to see the show happen live. Right now, caller number four. Caller four wins two tickets to ESPN's Fantasy Focus Football live at the Tundra Trio. See the show up close, meet all the hosts, and get complimentary food and drinks and Fantasy Focus Football Podcast merchandise. Call it for 1-800-990-3776. Visit ESPNWisconsinContest.com for full details. It won't be heaven, but it'll be close next.